Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I'm Melissa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls who started recapping The Last Kingdom in Season 3, so we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcast Landia. The last episode! I can't believe we're done already! It's so crazy to me!
I'm so sad!
I know!
It's so weird! Like,
I know.
When we first started, you know, doing this podcast, we had to do like three seasons worth in like, it felt like a month. And so it felt like so much and it was exhausting and I loved it, but it was also like, yay, we're kind of done. I don't feel that way with this.
I don't either.
Very upset.
Yeah, shockingly, it's a lot more pleasant, you know, taking your time and recording one season at a time instead of three.
Right? Just really enjoying the show.
Yeah. Plus, like, we knew that season four was coming, so we had that to look forward to. But now, like, I'm hoping we get a season five, but there hasn't been any, like, official announcement yet. At least since at the time of recording this episode. Hopefully, you know, hopefully when it comes out, they'll have announced something. But give us season five, because there are things I need to see come to fruition.
Well, here's the thing. I like firmly believe that we're going to get a season five. I just can't see why we wouldn't. But like, we're all kind of suffering under the unknown of like this pandemic. And so who knows when like filming, any kind of filming scheduled or otherwise is going to start back up again. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just feels like I'm really holding on tight to any like shows that are coming out right now because I don't know when we're going to get new stuff. Like it's very... It is a TV critic's worst
nightmare. Yeah, I feel that in my bones.
And it's low on the totem pole of, like, priorities. But, yeah, I don't know if we're going to have a lot of new, like, entertainment coming, you know, the, like, last half of this year, early next year. It's going to be weird.
Well, on that super fun note.
Yeah. Really depressing. Let's move on.
All right. Let's talk about war.
Yes.
So, we open on this Siege of Winchester. It's not going well. They've been there for apparently a month of trying to get in. 30 days.
30
days. Yeah. Yikes.
I mean.
And, you know, credit to Edward for building the walls of Winchester so strong, but I think he's regretting his thoroughness now.
Yeah, I mean, you don't, you know, build up your palace walls to, like, withstand a siege thinking you're going to be the one sieging it.
Exactly.
You got to feel for him. It's a real mess. We've got heads on spikes, you know. It's just, it's not good. And I think, I like that on a show that really rarely acknowledges the passing of time, that they wanted to put in there like 30
days. It's been 30 days.
They let us know, you know, it's been a rough time and everyone's kind of, the morale is very low. And at this point, Edward is kind of like, fuck it. Let's just burn it all to the ground. You know, yes, I'll kill all of my people, including my sons and my family. But hey, the Danes will burn alive also. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, it's been 30 days. But like, that's the mindset of someone who's, you know, been at this for like a year. I mean, it's just, he's really, he's lost it. Æthelflaed has been up in Efferwich, and Eldhelm comes to Edward and tells him the good news that she has taken back Efferwich. The Danes have surrendered.
She's been crushing it.
And now she's heading down. The women always crushing it on the show. And so she's going to kind of come down, you know, to help Edward out. Of course, he takes this news not too well because it's like, you know, great that she's doing so good. I'm not doing that great. And I don't want to be like this kind of shameful mark on my father's like history while my sister is getting all the glory. Mm. Again, it's like all about rep with this dude. And I'm just so over it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it'd be hard for anybody to sort of be the child of Alfred after all that he accomplished and like how beloved he was by the people. But also like, I mean, you got to be your own man at some point, you know, like you have to, you know, take responsibility for the many mistakes that you've made. And he needs to like just let it go, you know, like, yes, he's not his dad. He's not going to be his dad, but he needs to sort of decide what kind of ruler he wants to be instead of just, I don't want to, you know, mess up my dad's legacy. Okay, but like, what else are you going to do?
What else, dude?
Right. Like, so
you've got to have something more than just that as a plan.
Yeah, but he decides that the best plan is to burn Winchester to the ground, which, sure. You know, I think if I was one of the Saxon people trapped inside Winchester, I would remember that, you know, be like, he was willing to burn us all alive rather than negotiate. And that, I really feel like that would not sit well with his people.
Oh, really, Alyssa?
Yes, because it's just an inkling that I have.
In a roundabout way, it is kind of similar to what's happening right now with people saying we need to go back to work for the economy. Like, there's so many, like, small hits on this show that I'm just like, it's not the same as being burned alive, but kind of close.
Right.
Yeah, no, these people are not going to be cool with it if they ever find out, you know, hopefully for Edward they won't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just so interesting because so we see Edward kind of losing his shit. He's at his wit's end. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of cut to what's happening within Winchester. And Sigtryr is just like cool as a cucumber, man.
It's crazy how chill he is.
So chill. He's been on the Mary Jane, I think. I don't know if that existed back then. But, you know, him and Sior are, you know, up in Alfred's library. They're reading about Saxon history. They're playing checkers. There's lots of flirting. I will not be told
it's
otherwise,
cute.
Alyssa.
No, it's cute. I'm on board now. I see what you saw.
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't seem bothered. I mean, there's hints that, you know, because the siege has gone on so long, they're kind of running out of bread, which would be a real problem for me. Lack of carbs.
Right.
But other than that, like, things seem okay. And then, of course, you know, Brita has to ruin the whole fucking mood.
Yeah.
She's such a Debbie Downer this season.
Brita's having a hard time, and I'm having a hard time with her. But yeah, she sort of sees how Steora and Sigtryggr have bonded, and I don't think she likes it very much. So she decides that she wants to kill Steora in order to draw Uhtred out of the camp and sort of hurt him in that way. Because, you know, that's the only thing Brita cares about right now. Like, she's like, yeah, I guess I'm having a baby, but, like, I gotta fuck up Uhtred's life in a real way or my life doesn't matter anymore. So
Not a good vibe, Brita. Not digging
it. It's not a great vibe. But Sigtryggr's like, actually, I'm in charge here. I will select the hostage. And also, everybody needs to go dampen the roofs with water and mud to protect from fire. So this guy, like, he can just...
Genius.
Yeah, he can just make all kinds of decisions and not even break a sweat. And I feel like, especially when you have, like, Edward melting down in the camp, it really shows, like, the contrast between these two men at this point.
Yeah, Sigtryggr is totally, like, the dude I would want to go sieging with if I ever wanted to siege a city. Mm. He just seems totally unbothered, and that's just pissing off Brita more. Mm-hmm. You know, we get to see a glimpse of Heston because he's kind of become, I guess, one of Sigtryggr's generals. I don't know. And for some reason, Heston's being nice to Edith.
I don't understand
hiding
it.
Her.
I don't understand
I don't
it.
Get
like,
it.
It's, I think it's one of those things where it's like, we need to keep Edith around, so we're just going
to
have Heston taking care of her in an attic for some reason. So, like, she's got the plot armor, I think, at this point. But Heston protecting her in an attic does not feel particularly correct, but you know what? I like Edith and I want her to make it. So, like, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, at one point I was like, is this show really going to make me like Heston and Aylesworth in one season?
No,
like,
Heston's too much. Still a dirtbag. I know. It's fine.
It was a quick like moment of insanity, but he proves later on like we
but
were
also
right to
it's
that, like trust him.
Like I 100% agree with you, but also like the bar is so low, you know, it's like, oh, Heston didn't rape Edith. I guess he's a good guy now. And you're like, oh.
He gave her a loaf of bread. I guess that excuses all of his past behavior.
Yeah.
So that's going on. And speaking of Aylesworth, she's still holed up with Ethelhelm and Aelfled. Those two are really struggling. Mm-hmm. Love to see it, but it's really annoying to hear how they're not used to discomfort, the poor things.
Oh, darn. We get it. You're hungry.
Come on. I can't with these two. And Aylesworth is like, look, I lived in the marshes
you
for a minute.
You dumb babies, get over it. There aren't any flies. My feet aren't rotting from the wet.
Up.
It's fine. But yeah.
My baby doesn't have colic and a witch isn't making sacrifices in the mud.
Right. Let's get a little perspective, you privileged babies. But yeah, the conversation gets real dark real fast because they start talking about ways to kill themselves and... You know, the what is it? Aethelswith? Aethelswith is the wife. And she's like, I'm just going to throw myself on the knives. I'm tired and want to die. And her dad is like, well, actually, there's a way you can kill yourself with just a piece of cloth. And Aelswith is like, well, actually, there are these flowers in the courtyard and you won't taste it and they'll kill you very quickly. And of course, Ethelhelm is like, interesting. I will keep this information.
I'm going to put that away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, good for Aylesworth for being, like, a low-key herbologist, but I just know that Ethelhelm is going to somehow use this, like, night lock or whatever it is.
Oh, my God, it is like night lock.
Ruin everything. It is. Aylesworth, except, you know.
Aylesworth would definitely win the Hunger Games.
She would. She would offer to, like, eat the night lock, but I think she would go through with it just so she could, like, you know.
Right.
Have the honor of sacrificing herself for her god and her kingdom.
Exactly.
That's totally Aylesworth's way. You know, but while all of that is going on, you know, Sigtryggr makes good on his word to Breida about, you know, he's going to choose the hostage that they kind of dangle in front of Edward. And so he comes in. He wants Edward's heir. And very interesting that all of a sudden Æthelstan... matters,
right?
And you know he's acknowledged, and it's like take that one, you know, don't take ours,
right.
take the bastard.
He's the
boy,
oldest
and
one,
like,
and
okay.
Edward likes him more, and you're like, oh man. But Æthelstan, what?
Edward spent like 2 minutes with this kid,
right?
Come on.
But Æthelstan, the sweetest boy in the whole world, is like, I'm the oldest. I should be the one to be taken. And so Sigtryggr's like, actually, I'm going to take both of you and we're going to make this real interesting. So Edward's, you know, having his meltdown in the camp and young Uhtred arrives and he's looking for Steora. And Uhtred is like, well, we don't really have her right now, but we have a plan. And they don't really have a plan.
I thought young Uhtred was going to be in Winchester, though. Wasn't he riding back to Winchester to be in the monastery?
I don't know if his monastery is like inside the walls of Winchester, but what I want to know is I'm pretty sure Hild's nunnery is in Winchester and we didn't even get a check-in.
Where has Hild been this whole season?
I have just accepted the fact that now that Hild is an abbess, we're not going to see her very often, but I feel like we should have seen her in this episode. Like, we should have seen her in Winchester.
Or at least, like, getting out, you know, something.
Right.
Like, there should have been some check-in. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, just because Bioka's gone doesn't mean that whole, you know what I mean? They were kind of, like, part of a team
right.
at the beginning of this season, and it's like she's still there. We still care about Hild. Come on, people.
We'll always care about Hild. But, yeah, so Sigtryggr is like, hey, Edward, come meet me face-to-face. And Edward is like, I think I'll pass. And then, you know, Sigtryggr really forces his hand and brings out the boys and, you know, shows them, hey, I've got your heirs. I'm not to be fucked with. And so Edward, you know, he demands that his children be returned to him. And Sigtryggr laughs at him and is like, well, how about you pick one? Like, you can pick one son, and I'll give you that one if you retreat. And shockingly, that does not go well.
Yeah. I just want to point out in this exchange, there's the part where it's like, where Edward is kind of making these really empty threats. And he's like, I'll find your kids. And Sigrid
take out their
like,
eyes.
I don't have kids.
Right.
Take out their eyes. I don't have kids or a wife. And if Sigtrigger hasn't been wifed up yet, I volunteer as tribute.
Well, like, I think Stiora's going to, totally I think you're correct. And Stiora is going to take him up on that offer. But yeah.
Take that offer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Sigtrigger, he's a rolling stone.
He can't be
tied down.
Long.
No. He's made it this far, but I think he's just waiting for the right woman.
Shockingly, I thought, you know, Edward might actually make that choice.
I did
it
too.
Just seems like such a dirtbag thing that he would do, especially since he's so concerned with, like, his legacy and his reputation and everything. And so it seemed like, you know, he would choose the legitimate heir because that would make sense. And that's what, you know, people were telling him, if you have to make this choice, that's what you should do. And
I think
of course,
it was,
Uhtred is like...
See, I think it was more the issue is he didn't, like, the retreat was part of that. You know, so like,
right,
I think if
right.
it was just pick a boy, he could have made the choice, but ultimately he could not bring himself to retreat because that would be a show of weakness. So I think
right.
it was more the retreat than whether or not he has a favorite. But I honestly think he would have chosen Athelstan. I really do.
I mean, who wouldn't
right.
at this point? I hate to see children hurt, but I would choose Athelstan.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. I just don't have enough of, like, a connection with this other kid. I can't even be bothered to remember his name. But, yeah, you know, Uhtred really feels for Edward at this moment because he has two kids and
mm-hmm.
and he's having a talk with young Uhtred. And young Uhtred is like, I would want you to pick Stiora. And Uhtred is like, I wouldn't be able to. Like, no parent should have to choose. It's unnatural. And so, you know, he offers himself instead, and it's really noble and such a
classic
Uhtred thing
move.
To do.
Yeah.
Classic Uhtred. And Edward's response, I was just like, what the fuck, dude? He's like, you don't mean enough to me, like,
yeah.
to be of any value. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's a bit harsh.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, Uhtred is, I mean, Alfred said so many worse things to Uhtred, though. Like, we forget because like Alfred, but, like, Alfred was always awful to him. But Uhtred is like, listen, like, Brita wants to kill me. I'm not without value. I'm, you know, I'm the Daneslayer. So if they kill the Daneslayer, mm-hmm. that looks good for them. I like that Edward is like, all right, if you do this, like, Wessex, you know, would once again be in your debt, and I won't let them forget you. You know, like, if you do this and this goes through, you know, you will be remembered even if you die. So I like that Edward acknowledges, you know, if Uhtred does this, that's a huge gesture. And that he's not going to let mm-hmm. it go unsung, which is, you know, what Alfred did for years.
Yeah. I mean, he, like, purposefully, I think early in this episode when Stiora is talking about Alfred, you know, she's talking about his, how he, like, chronicled everything. They're reading that. And then later on in the episode, you know, we get another hint of that where, you know, Uhtred kind of hints that Alfred made sure that he wasn't in this history because he didn't want everyone to know how much this Christian kingdom owed to a heathen. And so I think once you, like, see the whole episode, that part, again, like, feels really important because that's something that Alfred never offered to Uhtred. And so, yeah, he comes up to the gate to offer himself. Hestet's over here, acted shocked that he's
right?
not dead.
He's like,
it's like,
Hestet.
We all know the truth, bro. You didn't want him to die. You made a half-ass attempt at, like, assassinating
but
him.
But also,
come
like,
on.
He probably should have known because his men never came back, you know? Like, I mean,
yeah,
I guess
they never gave him word.
Yeah, like, nobody was like, hey, Uhtred's dead, and also it's been 30 days, so it's not like he can be like, well, I just haven't heard yet. No, you would have known by now. And so Hestet, bless him, he's the worst, but...
but also sometimes the best.
Exactly. I don't want him to die. I'm glad he made it out of the siege and will continue to be a cockroach as another day, but, you know. Yeah, so... you know, Uhtred is brought before Sigtryggr, and they bring all the hostages out to the courtyard, and Uhtred sort of offers himself up for both the boys. And Sigtryggr accepts, and, you know, he really wants to negotiate. But Breida is like, actually, now that he's here, we're going to take him out. I want to crucify him quite literally and get my revenge. And Sigtryggr's like, please, Breida, you're embarrassing yourself.
What is wrong with you? Yeah. Like, she has clearly been lying awake at night thinking about that specific torture, and it's a lot.
Like, Breida is making Arya Stark look chill in her quest for revenge in this season.
God, right?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Like, what Arya Stark did, you know, to the people that killed her family, it's just like, that's nothing compared to what Breida wants to do.
Breida wants it all to burn, so... Yeah. But, you know, that scene where they kind of, you know, reunite, and I think Uhtred, like, he didn't know that she was pregnant, you know, and so when he sees, you know, that she's pregnant and she's been through so much, I think that's a really hard thing for him to reckon with. But, like, he still believes that, you know, he saved her, which he did, but, like, she did go through a lot, like, some really horrific shit, like... We don't know how long she was in that pit. You know what I mean? And so I get it. Yeah. I really do. But, like, Breida, you got to move on from this.
Come on, dude. Like, it's war. Things happen.
Right.
I just. You know, while all of this is going on, Æthelhelm, you know, they've been brought to the courtyard, and they see what's happened with Uhtred. Mm-hmm. And Æthelhelm uses this opportunity to kind of get in good with the guard, bribing him because he is, you know, basically the scum of the earth. And he decides to poison Aelswyth to kind of ensure that Æthelstan, you know, doesn't have her there to protect him if they make it out of this alive. Because I think this hostage negotiation has proven that Æthelstan is much more of a threat than he first thought. And it's becoming, like, even more real that this kid could take his grandson's place on the throne. So he's going to use that bit of plant knowledge now to take out Aelswyth, which you would think that Aelswyth would be smarter than that, but, you know, they have to inject some
suspense. She's been in prison for a month. She's tired.
She's
hungry. Like, she's not working at 100% right now. So she should have kept that information to herself. But also, I get it. Hungry lips are loose lips.
We don't know how we would act right. If we were held captive by Danes for a month. I mean, I'd be saying all kinds of weird shit.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. You know, so Uhtred and Sigtryggr are in the throne room. They're having a chat.
I loved this scene.
Kind of a brawl and a chat. Oh, my God. So good. I knew when these two got together, like, it would be such an interesting kind of matchup because they're so similar.
Yeah.
And they're on equal ground. And I liked that, you know, even when they're talking, you know, Sigtryggr brings up how similar they are. He's lost his home just like Uhtred lost his home in Bebbanburg. And I loved that whole kind of interaction, and I hope we can get more of it down the road.
I know. I want to see
really interesting characters.
I want to see more of it. I love that there was such a level of respect. Like, even though they were on technically opposing sides, they both, you know, saw things that they admired in the other person. I mean, it's because they have a lot in common. So, like, oh, of course I like this guy. He's a lot like me. But
he's like me.
But yeah, I think, you know, I think Sigtryggr endears himself to Uhtred quickly when he's like, listen, like, Steora's the best. I love her low key. She's safe and well treated. Like, don't worry about her. I'm taking care of it. Which, you know, has got to be a real concern for Uhtred. Like, he knows how Danes can be. He knows how being in prison can be. So I think the fact that Steora has come out of this not only, you know, unscathed, but thriving is, you know, it's more than he could have hoped for.
I mean, she's her father's daughter. Also, I think Sigtryggr kind of recognizes that, like, you've got to get in good with the dad. It's like the first rule of dating, even in the ninth century.
Right. The dad doesn't like you.
So he's, like, quick to be like, hey.
Yeah.
He's quick to be like, Steora's cool. Also, I've heard really great things about you.
Right.
Let's, like, bond. Yeah. Let's see if we can make a truce and negotiate with your king.
Can I call you dad? Not quite yet. Okay. Okay.
Not yet. Okay. But one day.
Right.
So he's kind of working with Uhtred. I think he recognizes that Edward is not like a resolute man. Mm-hmm. He's not someone that's going to make a decision, a hard decision, and stick with it.
Sure.
But Uhtred is, especially after everything that Stiora has told him. And so he wants Uhtred to kind of approach that negotiation with Edward, mm-hmm. Which is, again, so smart. He wants peace. He wants land. And Heston's kind of spying on them through this whole thing. And when Breeda kind of pops up, she's like, Heston, yo, what are they talking about in there? And Heston's like,
they're becoming friends.
They want, like, to.
Great.
Yeah, they're broing out. They're talking about maybe, like, giving you some land and silver and being on our way. And Heston's cool with that, of course, because he just wants to grow fat and lazy.
Breeda does not react well.
Not what she signed up for.
Yeah. Yeah, Breeda is just, you know, she. You know, Breeda.
She's on another level, dude.
Yeah, she just wants blood. Like, the thing is, like, it's such a short-term plan. Like, she doesn't have any idea of what she wants to accomplish beyond Uhtred being dead and Saxons mm-hmm. being punished. Like, that's it. She doesn't have a game plan beyond blood. And that's not a great place to be. And, you know, she kind of has her little freak out and throws Uhtred's sword onto the battlefield. And, you know, she just tossed away his sword like it was nothing. And
like, what the hell?
What the hell?
She knows what that sword means to him.
I know. They've
more than like
more than anybody. Like, didn't he get that sword from Earl Ragnar and like the, you know, the amber thing? He got that
the
on
piece
the
piece of amber.
Yeah,
yes.
He got that when they were still together. And it's like, man, Breeda, that's cold.
Yeah, that's like worse than, you know, saying out loud that she wants to kill him. Like, her throwing his sword like on a pile of dead bodies for scavengers to find was just like,
yeah,
step too far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, while all this is going on outside, Edward's still losing it. Ethelflaed rides up. For some reason, she is like so quick to agree with Edward.
I was a little shocked by that, too. I think, you know, I think she wants to, you know, build the legacy that her father, you know, wanted. But also, like, Aldhelm is like, hey, maybe we should wait. And she didn't listen to him
Poor
at
Aldhelm.
All. And I feel like he deserved a little more respect than that. Again, who knew that we would come around to Aldhelm? But, like, he's been a ride or die this season. And
he makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And no one listens to
no
him.
No one listens so, to him. And so, you know, it's just Edward thinks that Uhtred is dead because he found his sword and Athelflaed is shocked.
Sure.
But she's like, you know, he's just one guy. So even if he's alive, we still need to burn it down. I was like, damn, that is cold. But yeah,
these like Winchester kids are really killing me this episode.
Yeah, they're.
And
yeah.
Also, here's my thing, too, is I don't like that they're talking about doing all of this in Alfred's, like, honor and his legacy, because Alfred has lost Winchester to the Danes. He had to go to the marshlands. He didn't just say, hey, let's burn the whole fucking place down and kill everyone. Like, he's been in a similar position. So it's like, you know, you saying, yeah, let's burn everything down for my dad. It's like, I don't think that's what he would have done. So I don't know. It's a lot. Again, we need the excitement and the drama. So this is the way we're going to go. But maybe next time, let's like have a better plan. Let's have a council. Let's get people together. Like, get some good minds in there and come up with something better than just burning the place to the ground.
Right. There has to be a better option than literally hurling flaming bags of shit at the walls to smoke them out. I refuse to believe that's the only option they've got right now. But, you know, that's the one they take. And it's, you know, pretty gross and pretty brutal. And you're just like, yeah, of course.
And it's risky.
So risky.
What, Aldhelm, like, wrong gust of
the wind? Aldhelm's like, okay, so, like, what if the wind changes? Which, you know, happens all the time. And then we're the ones who are smothered. And they're like, you know what? It'll be great. It'll be fine. This is what we're going to do. And I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ, you two. Just
have a bunch of pyromaniacs.
Right. They just wanted to set some shit on fire. Like this is a means to an end for
them.
That's
all it was.
But yeah, it's, you know, the battle breaks out and Hessen is like, all right, this is my cue to leave. And he wants to take Edith with him. But she's like, I need to stay with the hostages, even though she hasn't been staying with the hostages for the past month. But anyway,
she doesn't even know where the hostages are.
Listen,
at this point.
Gave us a really beautiful moment, and so I'm not going to be mad about Edith being present.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. Agreed.
But yeah, she kind of gets.
We're not going to complain about it anymore.
She kind of gets swept up into the fight, which is not a great place to be. But yeah, Breida's getting the battle that she wants because the Winchester kids won't trust Uhtred to handle it. Like, they don't give him enough time.
It's just ridiculous. Of course, Sigtryggr is a little pissed, and he's like,
I'd be pissed.
You need, he tells Uhtred, yeah, I would too. And so he tells Uhtred, you know, go out there and negotiate with your king, or we're just going to kill them all.
Yeah.
And he sends Uhtred out.
But he
like,
can't
no
kill any Danes.
Yeah, if you start killing Danes, I'm going to kill you. He sends, like, this big bodyguard with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Uhtred is kind of just making his way through this messy battle, trying to avoid getting stabbed to death, and he's screaming at Edward to put up a shield wall, to stand down. There are many points where I'm just like, this is not going to work. He's not going to get there in time. Something's going to happen to him. Like, very kind of touch and go moment, but he finally kind of gets to Edward, reasons with him a bit, and also, like, shouts over to Sigtryggr to, like, throw up a shield wall. And
because I don't think,
like,
yeah, I don't think Edward would have done it first. You know, I think he had zero faith in Sigtryggr, and ultimately because of that, Uhtred. But yeah, he was not going to be the first to make that show of negotiation. So that really, again, shows what a wise leader Sigtryggr is and how much he's so much better than Edward. But yeah, Sigtryggr, you know, he has to try a couple of times, but he calls for the shield wall and, you know, they both throw him up. They have this moment of, you know, extreme tension, but they're not going to fight so they can talk. And of course, Finan saves Edith from the battlefield. It was a lot. It was beautiful. They better make out in the next season, or I'm going to be very upset.
He, like, almost broke a shield wall to, like, scoop her off the ground, like, some, you
that
know,
is some romance novel shit,
hero.
And I am here for it.
Yeah, I love it. So that happens, then Edward and Æthelflaed kind of go in with Sigtryggr, to bargain with him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants Efrawitch, which is kind of a sore spot for Æthelflaed because she just spent a lot of time.
Literally just took
it. Taking it back.
Yeah.
She was just bragging about that to her friends on, like, her group text, like, 2 minutes ago.
You're going to take this flex away from her already?
Not a good look.
Man. Yeah.
It sucks. Also, like, Efrawitch is on Mercia's border. Mm-hmm. So that's another, like, good reason to kind of be against that. It's not just because, like, she just retook the place.
Sure.
Like,
there's tactical reasons, too.
Yeah. She doesn't want the Danes kind of invading from there or just pillaging her land whenever they want. So, yeah, it doesn't look like that negotiation's going to go good. But I like that Uhtred is kind of like, all right, I'm going to go see my kid.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they offer him, you know, they offer Sigtryggr East Anglia, which I could see why they would offer it because it does have, you know, the sea. And he does have access to his homeland that way, but that's not what he's going for. Like, he's not looking backwards, he's looking forwards, and Efrawitch offers, you know, a little bit more room to grow. But yeah, Uhtred pieces out, he did his part, this doesn't involve him, so he goes to go and find Siora. But instead of finding Siora, he finds Breida, who stabs him in the gut, and it's just, I mean, there is so much rage here. There's so much rage here.
It's so hateful. It's weird. It's because, like, you know, there's a part where she's, like, screaming at him and she's like, you know, I'm going to raise this kid. She assumes it's a boy and she's like, I'm going to raise him to be loyal to me, which is not what any man I've ever known has been.
Ooh.
And, like, you know, it's like, I don't know.
I get it.
I'd like the energy if it weren't so poorly directed. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just, there's something to be said for like wanting to make people, you know, recognize when they've wronged you and atone for that. And so, especially in that time and what she's been through, I get it. But like, I think at this point, Brita has a lot of emotions that have been pent up from like even her time with Ragnar. And I think they're all just kind of being misdirected and kind of turned into this like nasty thing. And I think it's going to overtake her and make her become a person she's not going to recognize. And I think that's sad. So this whole interaction that she has with Uhtred is just really rough because it kind of signals like, yeah, this is the final nail in the coffin. Like, this is done.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, they kind of have that fight and like, obviously he overpowers her. Like, she's a pregnant woman. So Uhtred's not going to lose that fight. But, you know, when he gets the upper hand on her, you know, she begs him to kill her again and, you know, tells him, you know, if you don't kill me, I will be your undoing. I will devote my life to ruining your life. So please just kill me. And he still can't do it. You know, he's still right. And so because he remembers, you know, what he had with Brita and how they're so deeply bonded by their childhood. And, you know, he still loves her in a way. So he's just like, you know, just leave, like have your child, leave while you can, just go. And it's really sad. And you can just tell like how tired he is of this conflict. But, you know, Brita's not going to go quietly into that good night. So I feel like she'll be back after having her child under a tree. She'll find some.
God.
That just nightmare. What a nightmare scenario.
Okay, here's my deal, though. We've watched her have a miscarriage under a tree. Now we're watching her give birth under a tree. It's like, find an inn.
Right.
Find a midwife.
Right. A manger in
a
barn.
There's got to be someone out there.
Something, but under a tree? Jeez. Like, that's hardcore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think
I'm like worried about
like
it
Brita
too. Because
Brita could be like a full-on villain.
Oh, she's
going to
be the next season's villain. Come on. That's got to be what it's going to. I feel like we're going to have a time jump. She's going to have a kid that's like maybe a little bit more grown, and they're going to be coming for Uhtred and for like, you know, all of the Saxons. I feel like that has to be what they're leading to at this point.
Yeah.
Because other than like Æthelhelm, who's going to be who's the bad guy?
Right.
Unless we introduce some rando. But I just feel like you wouldn't have given Brita this whole arc this season if you weren't going to turn her into something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see that for sure.
Haven't we been through enough?
Yeah. No, we haven't. So, yeah, like, Osferth is tending his wound and they're feeling a little confident and whatever. And, you know, Edward and Æthel Fled show up and they're like, all right, so we negotiated, we're giving him Efferwich and he won't enter Saxon lands again. And they're like, great, this is great. Cool. And they still look sad. And Uhtred is like, hey, buddies, what's going on? Why the long faces? And they're like, well, here's the thing. He wanted to keep a prisoner, specifically your daughter. And Uhtred, of course, doesn't handle that well.
Yeah, no.
And he goes to see her and he's like, all right, I told him no, this isn't going to happen. And she's like, ugh, dad, daddy, I love him. Like, she has her little mermaid moment. And
oh my God.
Like, she, you know, she wants to go with him to Efferwich because there really is nothing for her in Cookham. Like, yes, it would have been lovely if they could have been a family, but like, that ship has sailed, you know? Like, he hasn't been home after they lost Gisela. Like, Uhtred has this idea of what his family could be again, but it's just too much time has passed and that's not going to happen. And, you know, Steora is just like her mom and just like Uhtred and that she doesn't want this, you know, again, to quote a Disney princess, there's so much more than this provincial life and she wants to, you know, get out there a little bit. And Sigtryggr is her way to do that.
That's very true. Yeah.
Steora is a Disney princess. It's canon.
She is. Yeah. I like this moment that she has where she's like, I want to get in touch with my roots. I want to see the world. Like, I have like your blood in me. So I have this restless spirit and I want to follow a path without knowing where it will end. And I think that's like a really relatable thing. Like, every mm-hmm. young person feels that way, no matter, like, what century you're in. And I think it's really a great kind of lesson that instead of fighting really hard against that, Uhtred is, like, kind of recognizes, you know, the best thing I can do now as her dad, instead of trying to protect her, is to let her do that, mm-hmm. to let her go live her life how she wants to. Like, she should be in charge of that. She's a woman. She's not a child anymore. And, you know, also I think he recognizes that she's got a thing for Sigtryggr, and he's met Sigtryggr. He's pretty cool. So he's going to let her go backpacking with her Viking hippie boyfriend.
Yes. Like,
where's the harm, you know?
Uhtred's such a cool dad.
Honestly, the coolest dad. He lets his kids go, like, on long extended vacations with, like, boys they just met, and he also lets them join back with their monastery bros. Like, he's the best. But I think, like, this whole situation, the one thing that I think negative that comes out of it is seeing how quickly Æthelflaed is like, yeah, I made a bargain with your kid.
Yeah, and after he fought so hard to not have her kid used as a bargaining chip, she gave up his very quickly.
Very quickly. And it's just like, she's not a kid anymore. So,
but, like, you could tell, like, when she said she's not a child, she didn't fully believe that herself. Like, she knew she was she stood by her choice, but I think she was a little bit ashamed of her actions.
As she should be. And I worry that, like, this whole episode from Æthelflaed, like, agreeing to kind of just help burn down the city, to being reluctant to make this bargain, to making it and offering also Steora in it, like, it just sets up, like, a bad kind of precedent for what's going to happen between them in season 5. Like, I just don't know where that's going to go now, because that feels like, again, that feels like a... like, we're going to, I know we were already taking a break because of, like, your kingdom.
But, like,
thing,
now
but
we're,
like
really
I want to take a break for real.
Yeah. Yeah. It was rough. So, but as one couple breaks further apart,
another rises from the ashes. Let's talk about it.
Tending her wounds. Hot. Love it. Finnan.
Yes.
You know, Steora talks about how Sigtryggr is gentle and how that's appealing. And I feel like Finnan is starting to learn that, too.
Well, it's especially for Edith, who has been mistreated, you know, by so many different men, even men like her brother, who were supposed to be there to love her and support her. It's just like, to have this person that you've really just met a couple episodes ago,
right,
you know, kind of
be so kind to her,
his life, and be so kind for, like, with nothing to gain, like, no, you know, Heston was being nice to her, but obviously he had, like, a
ulterior motive, you know, for sure.
A way for her to pay him back in mind. And it's like, Finnan is clearly not like that. And so, yeah, I think that really, I don't know, it's just, like, such a nice foundation to, like, build something on. And I hope that the show kind of takes that and runs with it, because, one, I want to see Finnan get a romance like he deserves. Mm-hmm. But two, I think Edith deserves that too.
Yeah.
And I think
they both deserve something.
Come on.
Nice.
They've been through it.
Right. But yeah, so after we have that lovely little moment, we sort of go back to sort of tie off the loose ends in Winchester, and Aelswyth is not doing well because, you know, poison.
Sure.
Æthelhelm is, like, you know, basically skipping down the hallways at the news that she's not doing well. And I think Edward, you know, obviously he can't, like, get rid of Æthelhelm at this point, but I think he realizes that he's more of a threat than he anticipated, because he basically begs Uhtred, like, please take Æthelstan and keep him safe and teach him how to be a warrior, because he is not safe here. So, yeah, you know, Uhtred loses one kid and gains another.
I mean, maybe it'll go better this time around. Maybe he'll be able to, like, really spend some time with this kid. I think it's, if anything, it's going to shore up these ties to, like, this vision of a united England. Mm-hmm. I think he's been trying to kind of get away from that duty to Wessex. But, like, if you're saddled with the future king.
Right.
And told to, like, teach him everything you know, it's like, okay.
All right.
Well.
But yeah, you know.
Just give in to it, I guess.
Yeah, that really, you know, it wraps up the season. And, you know, I'm excited for what's to come. We better get more. And, yeah, it's a lot. Next season's going to look really different, I think.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Because we have finished this season, we're going to look ahead to the next season, which is happening for sure. It's not been confirmed by Netflix or anyone official, but we're
putting that energy out into the universe. Give us season 5.
You've got to put the good energy out there. So this is when we issue our demands for upcoming episodes or seasons. Like the spoiled toddlers that we are, here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied. So Alyssa, what's going to go down next season, do you think?
I mean, Avahelm needs to go. Like, I'm as shocked as anybody we're ride or die for Aelswith at this point, but that's where we are now. So Avahelm, he needs to get his and get out. I really hope that even though they're, like, you know, riding off into the sunset, I want Sig Trigger and Stiora to remain major players, because I would be really bummed if they just disappeared into Northumbria and we didn't see them again. I'm hoping Edward has learned a little bit of humility through this whole ordeal. And I'm actually, you know, kind of, I mean, like, yes, it's frustrating, but I'm actually kind of excited to see him and Athelflaed work as more of a team. I'm hoping that it'll be more her influencing him than her deferring to what he wants. But I think that dynamic does have potential, even if it's frustrating in this episode. I do think it's what, you know, it's what Alfred would have wanted. Plus, you know, Uhtred still has a take back Bebbanburg. Like, he still has that cousin out there running around that was, like, introduced as kind of like a villain. And then we see him for one episode and then don't hear from him again. So I feel like that guy is a threat. But yeah, I swear the show cannot end before he takes back his birthright. Like, it just can't.
No, we will not let it stand. And I think it's, you know, there's an interesting part where Uhtred and Edward are having that talk about taking care of Æthelstan. And Edward kind of mentions this thing where he's like, you know, we still need to take Northumbria. Mm-hmm. And Uhtred's like, you know, haven't you, like, learned, you know, from all of this? And Edward's like, yeah, I have. And Sig Trigger has, like, taught me that we don't have to, like, always have war to, like, take back, mm-hmm. you know, and make this vision of a united England possible. So I feel like maybe that's where we're going to go. Mm-hmm. Next season is more into Northumbria. Obviously, that would lead us closer to Bebbanburg. It would mean that, you know, maybe we'll see more of Stior and Sig Trigger. Because, you know, at one point before Efferwich was decided, they were talking about Northumbria. And, yeah, so, yeah, maybe that's, like, the north. That's, like, north of the wall.
The wildlings. Let's do it.
Let's meet some wildlings. I think, you know, season 4 has been such a wild ride, and there's plenty I want to see when we kind of return. But I just also want to take a moment to say how impressed I am with this show as a whole. I think it just gets better every season. I think the characters get more interesting. As we spend more time with them, we see kind of new facets of each of these characters and their relationships to each other. It handles so much history really well. I mean, there's a lot that's packed into each season. I think, like you, I want to see more of Stior's kind of journey in Daneland. Also, you know, because that means more Sig Trigger, and I'm just his groupie at this point. I've come to accept it. I hope Aelswith kind of survives, but I think like this new path that Uhtred is on is kind of the most interesting, because it feels like maybe he has a clearer mission than he did when the season started, especially after the kind of disaster at Bebbanburg. And there's, like, deeper ties to, like, this united England. And I think when Uhtred is working towards a goal like that is when he's, like, really at his best. So, Yeah, I just also we're gonna get more of like Nanny Finn.
Yes, he had such a beautiful bond with Athelstan. We'll get to see more of it. Yeah,
we're gonna get to see more of like playing with boats on the river, like toy boats. Oh, it's gonna be so cute. More like piggyback rides.
Adorable.
Isn't that what everyone tunes into this show for?
Yes. The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our Arsling of the episode is the character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. Now, I feel like there was only one option in this episode.
I mean, come on. Who else?
Yeah.
Like, Uhtred. Ovs.
Right.
Come on. He's willing to sacrifice himself once again for peace. He works his butt off trying to convince Edward and Ethelfled to make a deal with Sigtryggr. Totally cool with, like, Styria going off with her, like, new boyfriend to kind of explore her roots and get in touch with that, like, Viking version of herself. And now he's going to, like, raise the future King of England. No man does more for Wessex than Uhtred.
Yeah, you're
no one.
You're absolutely correct. I'm really hoping that Edward, you know, sticks to his promise to ensure that Uhtred is remembered and respected. Like, Alfred could never commit to that. And that's an area, I think, where Edward could even overtake his father. So do what your dad couldn't, Edward. Give Uhtred the respect that he has earned so many times over.
Honestly, if Edward cares, like, anything about, like, getting in our good graces and being popular.
Right. If you ever want to be the Arsling of the episode, do this, Edward.
Do this, Edward. All right, guys, get ready to shame down the worst character of the episode with us. It doesn't matter if you're a Saxon or a Dane. Anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the episode. Again, lots of choices. I think it comes down to one or two, though.
Yeah.
So, Alyssa?
For me, I have to go Brita. Like, she's breaking my heart this season. Like, she's so deep in her own quest for revenge that she just refuses to see anything else. You know, plus she's determined to, like, bring her kid down into that level of hatred too, you know, bringing a child into this, you know, brutal world is enough, but instilling hate into its heart from the get-go is damning that kid to a life of misery and disappointment. Like, don't ruin his life just because yours is ruined too, Brita. That sucks.
It's also kind of weird to me because, you know, for a long time that whole issue of not being able to have a child really kind of weighed on Brita. And it was something that once that curse was lifted, it kind of felt like, oh, okay, you know, maybe that's a struggle that she's not going to have to deal with anymore. And for her to be so kind of cavalier with her life, like she's literally asking people to kill her. I don't know. You would think that like maybe she'd be more concerned and like maybe her one kind of goal would be to raise this kid and have a healthy kid. And it just shows kind of how far off the deep end she's gone because she doesn't even care about this child. Like she only sees it as a pawn to kind of further her own need for revenge at this point.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
What's going on, Brita?
Brita, get together, please.
Come on. So I think it was between Brita and Ethelhelm for me. I think both are terrible in different ways. And there's a part of me that can still understand Brita's anger.
Sure.
She's been through a lot.
Sure.
I just can't get with Ethelhelm's kind of joyous scheming. Mm. I mean, he's in the middle of captivity. He's, you know, it's near certain death at this point. And he ends the episode far too happy for my liking.
Absolutely.
I don't want to see Aelswyth gone, obviously. I think even worse than that, though, it's like, if she dies, it's almost worse news for him because, you know, now Ethelstan is going to be growing up under Uhtred's tutelage. And so he's going to have the knowledge of both Saxons and Danes. And he's going to grow up, hopefully, to be a really good warrior because he's going to learn from Uhtred. It's like, you kind of fucked up, Ethelhelm.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I don't know.
Now, no character is safe on The Last Kingdom, but some seem to be flirting with death more than others. 9th century life was fleeting and barbaric, but that doesn't mean we can't have some fun with it. Get ready to place your bets on who's headed for Valhalla soon, because this is the Viking Death Pool. All right, going into season 5, who's in a precarious spot?
I mean, it doesn't look good for Aelswyth, does it? Like, she's on the deathbed at this point. I hope she's able to recover next season, because I really loved her journey this time around. But I think The Last Kingdom likes to redeem characters right before they kill them. So the odds are not in her favor.
Well, yes, Aelswyth is indeed looking quite rough. But I just, like, I refuse to think that, you know, she's a bad bitch. Like, that worm Athelhelm is not going to be the one who gets to kill her. So I'm hoping that she recovers. It's like, hey, like, I was real sick. And, you know, it was a lot like what that flower that I talked about in jail does to people. And I hope she realizes, you know, that he was the one who tried to poison her and in turn has him killed. Like, that's my dream scenario. I'm so sick of this. I'm sick of this guy. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. And have Aelswyth be the one to do it.
We can still dream.
Right. Exactly.
Now, this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2020. The world is on fire. Honestly, we deserve this. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this week. And I think
for both of us,
it's the same.
Listen, like, they tossed us a few love kernels and we ate them up. Like, please give us a Finn and an Edith romance. But here's the thing. I'm going to put a slight caveat. Well, not necessarily a caveat.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to potentially throw a wrench in this. In the books, Edith and Uhtred are a thing. Like, after everything falls apart with Athelflaed, they sort of take up together and are together until she dies.
Until Edith dies?
Yes.
I don't like that.
I don't either. So I'm really hoping I feel like they've built up so much of, like, you know, Gisela was his great love, and then he had Athelflaed. So I feel like, not to, like, you know, completely take Alexander Draymond out of the romance pool, but I feel like Uhtred's had enough. I'm kind of like tired. I'm not super interested in that. So I think they're kind of realizing that this would be a better path for Finn to walk. And, but I don't want it to become like a thing between the two of them. You know what I mean? Like, that would be awful if, like, Finn and Uhtred had this conflict. So I'm hoping they just completely disregard that plotline from the books and instead give us the Finn and Edith romance that we deserve.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is a show that will be going on its fifth season, you know, if this romance ends up happening. So by this time, we've deviated from the books in many ways. I feel like it's not, like, you know, blasphemous or whatever to not. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think the fans will be okay with it. I think it just makes sense given what we've seen between Finn and Edith this season.
So good.
I can't believe that we got all these looks and all these kind of, like, breadcrumbs, and it's going to end up being Uhtred. I mean, I get it. Uhtred's pretty, but no.
I know. I just, like, if you want to get me on board, like, with a romance, like, give me some unrequited longing looks and I will 100% be down. Like, I was raised on Regency novels and Jane Austen. So that kind of longing, that is my lifeblood. So give it to me. That's what I want.
That trope where, like, the woman is like, oh, if only someone loved me. And the guy is just, like, looking at her like, It's me.
It's perfect every time. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it gets me every time. Definition of hard eyes. I can't see it being any other way at this point. So.
I agree.
Edith and Finnan have a lot more in common than Edith and Uhtred anyway. I think they've both kind of been through hell. And I just feel like, don't do that.
Don't do that.
If Finnan and Edith will come up with a couple name, like, to really, like, solidify that.
Give us Findith in season 5.
Is it going to be Findith?
Oh, no. We need to workshop that. That's bad. That's not good.
Yeah. Well, we'll come up with something else, but we'll put it out there so that way, like, people will think it's canon and then the writers can't go against it.
Right.
we'll find ways to, like, manipulate it so that season 5, you know, becomes this Finn and Edith romance that we want.
Now, since we recorded our previous season, the world has changed a little bit. Life has ground to a halt, and we're just doing our best not to lose our minds in quarantine. So goodbye, Geek Out, and welcome to Self-Care Corner, where we talk about what we're reading, watching, and doing to stave off the seemingly endless alone time.
Okay, so for my Self-Care Corner, I'm going to end with a show that I'm really loving. It's on FX. It's called What We Do in the Shadows.
I've really got to catch up on that. I need to catch up on that.
Okay, so it's based off the movie. If you haven't seen it, please go see the movie first. I mean, it's not like you need to see the movie to understand what's happening on the show, but it's like you'll have an appreciation for it. Mm-hmm. But the show is really good. The first season kind of retreads some of the things that happen in the movie. So it's kind mm-hmm. of like a nice little easy entrance for fans of the film. But this mm-hmm. second season, they have really kind of blown it out of the water and done such interesting stuff mm-hmm. and made characters. I mean, there's one character on there, Colin Robinson. He's like this energy. Okay, so the show is about these vampires that, like, are roommates in a house in Staten Island. And it's just, like, ridiculous the ways they try to interact with the world and this kind of modern world. And they just obviously do not belong. But, yeah, season two, like, there are so many characters that I just did not like at first. And now in season two, I'm like, ugh, they're one of the best characters. Or there's just so many funny people in it.
I mean, Matt Berry is so goddamn funny in everything he's ever been in. Yeah.
Okay. Toast of London on Netflix. There's a bunch of other stuff he's in, but, like, go watch his stuff. He is so hilarious. The most British man you will ever, like, see on TV.
Extremely British.
He is the definition of British.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's you know, so many other, like, really talented people on that show, and it just gets funnier and funnier. And it was renewed for season three, so there'll be even more of it to enjoy.
Yeah, I really need to catch up because I love the movie. Like, I love the movie to the point where my sister made me a needlepoint that says vampires don't do the dishes, and it hangs above my kitchen sink. So I love What We Do in the Shadows, and I really need to catch up on the show, especially now that we're getting a season three. Mine is Insecure. Do you watch Insecure?
Okay, so I've seen the first season. And
oh my god! Okay, you gotta catch up. Yeah. Well, this season it's in season four.
I've heard some interesting things though.
It's so good. It's so well written and so just well constructed, and the acting is great. It's just a really great show, and this season has been focusing on, like, this sort of slow burn friendship breakup. And it's absolutely devastating to watch, but it's so well done that you can't really pick a side. Like, you can see where they're coming from, but you also wish they would just communicate it's so good. And everybody should watch Insecure because Issa Rae is a genius.
Issa Rae is brilliant. Have you seen The Lovebirds on Netflix?
I did. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very cute. Like, I thought the script was, like, a little, like, I mean, it was the plot was more a little weak, but I thought that Issa Rae and Kumail Nanjiani were so good and had such good chemistry that they just, like, they carried it. And it's, you know, a lovely little rom-com to watch in quarantine.
He should be the romantic hero more often.
Oh,
like,
my
why
God.
Why hasn't he been filling that role?
Well, like, the thing is, like, I feel like in rom-coms, like, you have to have the really good rom-com look, like, just the way that a man looks at a woman. And which I know is a really heteronormative way to describe it, but, like, that's it in rom-coms. Like, he has to be able to look at her and you're just like, oh, yeah, like, he loves her just from that look.
Right.
And he's really good at doing that. There were a couple of moments in the movie where I'm like, oh, okay. Like, and it was just a look, but yes.
They even joke, but the movie is really funny because they even joke about that. It's like,
I know.
Is
that your kiss me face? But, like, yes, he has a really good one. So, yes, put Kumail in all of the rom-coms.
Book him more, Hollywood.
Please.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and Issa, too. I just thought they were so good together, which I'm glad that I liked her in this movie, because the last movie that I saw in the movie theater before all this goes down was The Photograph, which I had really high hopes for. I did not like, because the way that she was written was just such a flat character, which is not Issa Rae at all. And so watching the new season of Insecure, I'm like, okay, that was a blip. Issa's the best. So
back on the Issa train.
Exactly. All right, guys, if you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out on Twitter or over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. Also, don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave us a nice review wherever you get your podcasts.
And until next time, destiny is all bitches.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.